know that July is Minority Mental Health Awareness Month? Well, you might not have known that. I didn't either. But I do know that you are very familiar with our next guest. I mean, he's had an incredibly impressive post-NFL career in both the for-profit and nonprofit sectors. And, of course, 11 years of his NFL career was spent as a Chicago Bear. So let's welcome Israel Adonijé. Hi, Israel. How are you?
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
Doing very well. You are involved in so many organizations and businesses. You are so active in your philanthropy too.
Yeah, just been busy. It's so much going on. I'm thankful to be busy and to continue to be able to work both in the philanthropic space and then also, you know, in other sectors as well, in things that we're doing and here in this great city of Chicago, including in the fitness space.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about that first and then maybe we can touch on some of the other you know, all the things that you're involved in, which are so impressive. But, you know, you have actually, you're part of this incredible group called the Chicago Boutique Fitness Alliance. So can you tell us what that's about?
Yeah, so, you know, with this world having changed so drastically, you know, the fitness sector, we formed this alliance, this group of health and wellness experts representing over 600 boutique fitness gyms here in this great city of Chicago throughout Illinois, and really the notion of having a one voice as far as how to get it right, as far as executing how we run these studios, how we bring our members back into the space, what that looks like, and you know, as we look at what the mayor and what the governor are doing, it's important that, you know, for us, that there's some sort of representation that allows us to survive and to keep these businesses open. I mean, we generate over, you know, $500 million of revenue for the city. We employ over 25,000 Chicagoans, people right here in the city that this is a part of their livelihood. You know, and for me, I consider it actually this to be essential, right? Your health, your mental health, your well-being, it's critical to every aspect of what we do. So, you know, we as studio owners in that health and wellness sector, we take health very seriously, and even more so now during the world that we are in.
And of course, there's the tie-in right there, which of course, mental health has been strained throughout this pandemic and the stay-at-home order as well, and with a lot of anxieties and concerns. So I'm curious because I'm imagining that small sort of boutique, mom and pop owned fitness studios, the profit margins are probably very narrow, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's a volume business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why, you know, this in this last phase, the ordinance was 25% capacity. Mm-hmm. And a big part of our discussion and what we're really pleading with the mayor, with the governor, is we need at least 50% capacity to get our students, our patients, our members back in the studios. And that we, you know, we ask that our leadership trusts in us as health and wellness experts. Like, mm-hmm. This is what we do full time, is take care of people's bodies and their minds and their souls and their spirits, like through fitness and through health and through modalities and well-being. And it's important that we at least have this 50% capacity of our in our studios so we can get more people in, so the models actually work. You know, beyond just being an essential business, which is what we consider this, you know, this is also about survival, right? There's a number of businesses across all sectors, of course, that have closed down during these challenging times, but also in this space as well, it's important that those that have lasted this long, that the parameters as we open allow them to actually not just survive, but the goal is that they thrive as well and get back to where we all once were.
And, you know, we've seen the restaurant industry band together, and this is sort of what these fitness studios are doing under this greater umbrella of the Chicago Boutique Fitness Alliance. So your voice is bigger, so maybe you can get heard more. So where are things standing? Yeah, where are things standing right now in terms of with the mayor and the city?
Yeah, I mean, it's a conversation, right? And I think when it comes to any type of advancement in any discussion, it's about having you know, the right voices at the table, and both sides being able to trust that everybody at the table is operating in good faith. So we've had conversations with leadership, the teams, the assistants, and the support staff, and we've kind of really laid out the importance of what the difference between a 25% and a 50% mm-hmm. represents for these clubs, for these gyms, right? The importance that, you know, if the goal is to have a healthy Chicago when this is all over, is to have a strong Chicago when this is all over, you know, a great way to do that is let the members of the community also get back into these places that they consider a part of their everyday well-being and therapy. Like, you know, since we opened today, everybody's come back to work out and really start to build back in what so much of what's been lost over the last 3 to 4 months, you know. And then just the businesses, again, $5 million of revenue is a lot of revenue that just this boutique sector alone contributes to our city. And, you know, we employ all of these people, 25,000 plus. That's significant. Those are Chicagoans that get up every day and work and are able to add value to the community and to this ecosystem. So, you know, we've had a great conversation, and we hope that, you know, as they continue to, I mean, obviously we know this is not an easy task that our leadership has, but as they make those choices, we're hoping and we're really looking forward to them, you know, hearing our voices and making the adjustments that will allow us to really continue to move forward in a positive way.
Our guest is entrepreneur and former Chicago Bear, Israel Adonijé. And, you know, I know that you have a varied portfolio of businesses and projects, but I did not realize that you're also an owner of a gym, and it's called RSTR. Is it pronounced Restore?
Yeah, Restore. Yeah, that's it.
And
that's it, Restore.
And so how long has this gym been around, and is it part of Fabric, FBRK, which is sort of a incubator home, right?
Yeah, so we have Restore. We've been around for about a year. And, yeah, the initial vision was that Restore would kind of be the health and wellness arm of the Fabric ecosystem, mm-hmm. and that all our members in Fabric, you want to get in shape, you want to get fit, you want to increase your mental toughness, you come to Restore to put in that work. And it's been awesome. I mean, over the last year, we've been able to grow the community. We have a lot of incredible people that have trusted their transformation journeys with us. And, I mean, coming from the background that I came in, mm-hmm. fitness, health and wellness, working out every day, performance was so important to my career. And now being able to take some of those keys and some of those lessons learned and apply it to a boutique gym, it's been awesome.
I'm sure nobody questions you in terms of, you know, clients. No one gives you any talk back, right, when you're telling them what to do?
I'm yelling like, let's go, push harder.
I was wondering, I was like, how dare they question you? I just would assume that they would believe whatever you say with that, especially your background and your career. But I mean, Israel,
yeah, it's been fun.
You know, it's Fabric, which is spelled FBRK. It's a philanthropy innovation center. And this is also where your gym is located, as you mentioned. But explain that to us, and how can people get involved with Fabric?
Yeah, so Fabric, this first site that we launched is called Impact House. Mm-hmm. And in the greater ecosystem around Fabric, we really felt that there were, you know, these entrepreneurial verticals, you know, impact, business, technology, the arts, entertainment, and that each ecosystem needed its own kind of community to really build around the work that was being done. So Impact House, 40,000 square feet, all of our members are grantors in the impact space. They fund meaningful work that's happening in the city that's transforming communities and people's lives. Specifically, you talk about what's happened with the pandemic, just the members at Impact House at that Fabric location, you have raised above and beyond $50 million to support entrepreneurs, small business, community initiatives, and it's just been incredible. Really, I'm just a small part of this brain trust of people that give resources across our city in the education sector, health, you know, food insecurity, health. Like, it's just an incredible group of givers, and that location, that fabric, is a great place as far as people getting involved. You know, yeah. If giving and impacting the city is important to you, you know, the fabric, thefbrk.com. You can go to the site. You can learn how you can be a part of some of the things we're doing. Hopefully, in the next, you know, week or two here, we'll announce some incredible initiatives that we're looking to start that are happening here in the south side of the city. And any of those things that we post or announce, we'd love people to jump in, to be involved, to add their voice, to add their gifts to the work.
Well, I think everything that you've been doing post, I mean, your NFL career is just absolutely incredible. And I know the hashtag that goes with sort of the momentum and what you hope happens in terms of moving fitness studios up from 25% to 50% capacity. The hashtag is Save Chicago Fitness. Israel Adonijay, thank you so much for being with us. And we should tell you Happy Canada Day today as well.
Yes. Happy Canada Day. Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. Thank you for all the incredible work that you're doing.